As we start this morning, I want to go back to the time of Jesus' arrest and persecution and talk about how some people, I'm not talking about any one particular person, but how some people deny the Lord. There's no better example of that than Peter, who is pictured here as the rooster is in the background, because Jesus warned him what he was going to do and he didn't believe it. And so we can deny the Lord today by saying, well, it never could happen to me. I will never do that. In Matthew 26:33, Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And so he was proud of his faith. Then Mark 14:31, he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. So here's this courageous speech that Peter was giving beforehand, and his sincerity cannot be questioned, but I think he was overconfident. That is never going to happen to him. And I think that's a danger to us, that we can be so confident as a member of the church that I'm never going to fall away. I'm never going to have anything to do with denying Jesus Christ, when in reality, all of us are subject to sin. We talked this morning a little bit in class about the word conscience and the fact that we have a conscience that is given to us by God. And the conscious knowledge that we have is the ability to choose. God made animals and he made robots, but he made mankind with an ability to choose. And the conscience that we have either approves or disapproves of us depending on what we've been taught. And so here is Peter now in very great conscience saying that he would never do that. The warning that we have in the Bible is in 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. It's something that is so strange. You can be so strong in one moment and weak in another. We can be holding up the cross of Christ and then be weak with regard to that, like Peter did. Proverbs 16:18 says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And now that really, it was almost like it was written about Peter. His pride in what he was saying with Jesus Christ when Jesus was present. And I recognize it's easy to be a Christian in this room. But outside in the world, there's a constant barrage against our faith. And we should not say that I will never fall away, I will never commit a sin, because we do sin. And we have to make restitution about that. Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I imagine that every one of us has felt that at one time or another. That we want to do better than what we do, but we find ourselves unable. The Apostle Paul talked about that in the book of Romans. I think he was talking about himself before he was a Christian. But he said, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And the things that I ought to do, I'm unable to do. And I think I can find myself in that statement. That sometimes we're not as strong as we ought to be, and we let opportunity slip by us. But one thing that will always let us deny the Lord is to follow the Lord at a distance. There are a number of passages about this. I want to turn to Matthew 26 and notice what the Bible says. And these, Mark 14:54 and Luke 22, are companion passages that say about the same thing in a little bit different phrasing, but it says the same thing about Peter. In Matthew 26:58, but Peter followed him at a distance to a high priest's courtyard. He went in and sat with the servants to see the end. And this tells me that Peter had given up hope. He lost his hope. They didn't understand that Jesus had to die. And I can't be too critical of the apostles, because they didn't understand, even though Jesus had told them again and again, but the plan of God was something they didn't understand at this time. And so he just went with Jesus to see the end. He thought that would be the end of it. Later on, when Jesus was crucified, he said, I go fishing. He and John and James had been fishermen. And so he went back to his old trade thinking everything was over. But it really wasn't. It really had not even begun yet. So Peter purposely paced distance himself between him and the Lord. He was beginning to fall, and he didn't recognize the danger. And at this point, he was afraid of being associated with the Lord. Are you? Jesus said, if we deny him, he'll deny us. If we confess him before men, he'll confess our name in heaven. And so we don't ever want to be this fear of being associated with the Lord. I'm not ashamed to be associated with this congregation. It teaches the gospel of Christ. It holds forth the word of life. And we need to be proud to have a place to worship as we do. But any distance we place between ourselves and the Lord is dangerous. When you begin thinking, somehow I've got to get further away, like I'm going to go on vacation, I'm going to Las Vegas, and nobody's going to know me out there, so I can do what I want to do. And they say what happens at Vegas stays at Vegas. Well, if I've got that idea, then I'm putting myself away from God. And there never should be a time in my life when I want to be away from Christ. We have to really understand that our walk with Him is a continual walk. There's even a particular verb in the Bible that talks about continual action. And walking with Him is one of those continual things. It's not something we do today and not tomorrow, then back again another day. We do it every day, all the way, all the time. And we have to recognize that. But he began to warm himself, the Bible says, at a stranger's fire. Let's turn to John chapter 18. In John chapter 18, beginning of verse 15, Peter begins his downfall. And I don't like to read it because he was a great man, but he had his weaknesses like we do. Beginning in verse 15, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now, this disciple is not named, but I think it's John, because John always spoke of himself in the third person. He never identified himself. The Bible talks about the one that loved Jesus and that Jesus loved, and he was talking about John. And so John was with him. Now, that disciple was known to the high priest. He went with Jesus in the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter stood at the door outside. Here was Jesus inside, he's outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. And so he's inside where Jesus is. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? And he said, I am not. That is so sad. That is so sad when you think about how many days were they together. Peter saw everything from the time that Jesus called him until he was crucified. And he knew what Jesus had done, the miracles that he had done, and all those things. And he said, I'm not a disciple. Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And so we know it was cold in that particular time. But Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, talks about the pathway of the righteous. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And that could have been written about Peter. He was outside, then he was inside, but he was with strangers, and he's denying that he's a disciple. Well, that's exactly what Psalms 1, verse 1 warns about. 1 Corinthians 15:33 is something we need to take to heart, all of us. Be not deceived. Evil companions or company corrupts good habits or good morals. And I've seen that so many times through my years of preaching and being a Christian, that so many times it depends upon the kind of people you're with that determine your faith. And Christians must be leaders, not followers. We lead the lost to Jesus. We don't follow the lost, but we lead the lost to Jesus. We've got to have enough faith to do that, to be sure that we understand that. And then, Proverbs 4:14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Well, see, these are things that are written beforehand, but that was exactly what was happening to Peter. He was walking in the way of evil. And in Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. One of the things that I've always enjoyed so much through the years is having Bible studies. I'm not able to have much Bible studies today because people don't seem to be interested in that. That's why we have the website. But to be able to sit down and just have an open-hearted discussion with people about the Bible. I've told you before about the time when we had the film strips that we would take to people's homes and show the film strips. And I was trying to get members to go with me so they could learn how to do it on their own. All you have to do is take the film strips and get somebody to sit down and begin to watch, and it shows the Bible plan of salvation. And I did that with a couple. And back then you had a 33 and a third record. You had to flip it over halfway through. When I flipped it over, I looked, and the people that I had come to study with had gone to sleep, and the brother that I brought with me had gone to sleep also. So I was the only one watching it, and I'd seen it dozens and dozens of times. But you run into people like that. But you want to have Bible studies, sincere, finding the way of righteousness to be able to have those things. And you cannot expose yourself to strong temptations and think it's not going to have an effect. There's a smorgasbord of evil out there. It's available for everybody. The internet has been a blessing in some ways, but it's also an evil to a lot of people. You can find smut on the internet like you cannot believe. I recognize it's that. I recognize it's there. But Christians should not be available to take advantage of that or to watch that kind of thing, because it stirs strong emotions that can destroy your spirituality. We have to recognize that. So turn with me now back to John again, verse 25 and 27. Verse 25, now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You're not also one of the disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And so the rooster crowed. Now the Bible tells us in Mark that when the rooster crowed twice, Peter went out and wept bitterly. He recognized what he had done. And these strong temptations to be a part of the crowd. It's especially difficult for children at school because people just want to be a part of everything. And when you are there, people do things. Mary told me this morning that she had read about some high school kids who didn't like their teacher. Now, I don't know how they did this, but they hired a hitman to try to kill the teacher. Can you imagine high school kids getting that deep? How would you even know who the hitman could be? Well, probably their drug dealer. You see, you get these strong emotions. I've never hated a teacher like that. And I hope nobody ever does. But the point of it is, these are strong temptations. And strong emotions sometimes can be the doorway to sin. Now, I'm not opposed to emotionalism in our worship service. I'm quite sure that a lot of people who go to the big denominations think our worship is boring because we don't clap, we don't jump, we don't shout, we don't do all the display that others do. But there are strong emotions for every Christian. When we take the Lord's Supper, when we pray, when we open up the Bible and study the Bible, there are deep and strong emotions. So I'm not trying to say emotions are wrong. God gave us emotions. But we have the wrong one, this fear that people sometimes have. The fear that people have. Did you go out this last week and talk to a stranger about obeying the gospel? No. Why? Because you're afraid. You're afraid of rejection. You're afraid that they're not going to like what you're saying. In Matthew 25, it talks about the parable of the talents. And the one talent man said, I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. And Jesus condemned him because he didn't multiply his talents. So he was afraid of that. And folks, I understand fear. I understand in times when you have to stand up and stand out of the crowd and stand for the truth, people will look down on you many times. But that's okay. They look down on Jesus. And we have to learn to understand that. In Genesis chapter 4, one of the strong emotions we can have is anger. It talks about Cain and Abel and their sacrifice. And Abel offered according to faith, and Cain did not. And God did not accept Cain's offering. And the anger built up in Cain, and he killed his brother. The very first murder in the world that we know anything about at all. He did that. And we recognize that anger can be about minor things. We talk about road rage. And every once in a while, you'll read about somebody stopping and getting into a fight about road rage and shooting someone to death. And so anger can overcome us sometimes in ways that we should not allow it to happen. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 26, beginning, Paul said, let me be sure I've got to the right passage again. Chapter 4 and verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So anger is something that the devil generates in us. When we have that kind of anger that is not controlled, then we're subject to do all kinds of things. And that's what happened to Cain, and that's what happens to a lot of people. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, Paul tells the church to flee fornication. Run away from it. Don't give in to it. And folks, it's out there everywhere that you want. If you want to find it, it's there to find it. Then, of course, Proverbs 16 verse 18 again, pride goes before a fall. We have to recognize that that's the kind that it is. And do you have so much pride that you would never say, I need baptism for the remission of sins? Do you have enough pride that you could say, I'm not going to do that. I'm perfect the way I am. Because we know that that's not true in every case. So we have to look at that and consider all that and understand it. Now all these things have been discouraging about Peter. And the fact that he did deny Jesus. But there's a way of redemption that I want to tell you about. In Luke 22, it talks about the fact that Peter denied Jesus and cursed and swore that he was not a disciple. When he had just finished doing that, the cock crowed again the second time. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said. And the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. One thing that I don't see today is people weeping over their sins. I see people bragging about their sins. I know on one occasion there's a woman that stood up and said, I am a... trying to remember what exactly she said. Anybody remember? A nasty woman. Yeah, I am a nasty woman. Can you imagine somebody bragging about that? And people have that attitude today that... They're proud of the weaknesses. They're proud of the sinfulness. And it's become normalized in this world today. We need to have the idea that Peter did about weeping. And then he came face to face with Jesus. After Jesus was resurrected, he came face to face with Jesus. And you try to remember and think how he must have felt. Because he knew that Jesus knew what had happened to him. But in John 21, we find the way that Peter came back to the Lord. And I'd like to talk to you about that because this is so important that we have this same kind of an attitude. In John chapter 21, beginning at verse 14. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when he had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Oh, how that must have cut. Don't you know that he was remembering, and Jesus was calling to his mind how he denied him. And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time. Now, why the third time? Because he had denied him three times. And so he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." There's an important use of words here that the English doesn't bring out. Jesus uses a term connected to agape, which is the divine love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the word agape. And Jesus asks him, "Do you love me like this?" And Peter responds with another word. He says, phileo. Well, that means brotherly love. City of Philadelphia, brotherly love. And so he was using a weaker term than Jesus was. Well, twice Jesus uses that deeper term, "Do you love me with the agape love?" And uses that deeper term. Then finally, he uses the same term that Jesus, "Do you love me?" in the phileo sense. And there's a play on words there and a play on emotions. And what he was doing was showing Peter the way home. That he had denied him three times. "Now I want you to confess me three times. And then here's your job. Tend my sheep. Tend to the lambs." And he was willing to do that. So Jesus accepts Peter's penitence and says, "Feed my lambs," or "feed my sheep." And that set him forward. Now in John's account, he talks about how Peter is probably going to die. And he did die. Evidently, as tradition has said, that Peter died with his head down being crucified because he didn't want to be crucified like Jesus. But the history, to some degree, says that he was crucified with his head down, showing his submission to Jesus Christ. So, can we do that unthinkable thing? Can I deny Jesus? Have I denied Jesus? We need to really bring that home to each of us. Not be proud like Peter and said, "I love you more than everybody and I'll never do this." Because I'm a human being like every other person. Now I can have a dedicated faith, and that's what I need to have. And I can have my faith so strong that I will not deny Jesus. But let us not boast about the fact that I never will, because sometimes we do. And so finally then, we need to come home. And that's exactly what I'm saying today. That would you deny Jesus? I've often thought about what would happen if we were there when Jesus was being crucified. Would you take a hammer and nail and put it through his hands? Yeah. Would you take a hammer and nail and put it through his feet? Would you put a crown of thorns on his head and spit on him and slap him and whip on him? And we would say, no, I'd never do that. Well, the Hebrew writer warns us about the time when we crucify Jesus anew and put him to an open shame. And that is when we turn away from Christ. And we need not to do that because we need to go to heaven. And so I hope you'll take the lesson to heart this morning. There's always an opportunity of doing good. But there's also the danger of failure. And we must discern we're not going to do that.